Welcome to the Light Post Podcast, where we endeavor to cast light from God's Word on the issues that impact our lives. I'm Pastor Jim Lowe, and it is great to be here for another opportunity to share some things with you that we've been studying here at the Guiding Light Church on Sundays. And in this particular one, I want to talk about something that we've been discussing, and it talks about people in the last days, all right? And I want to read the scripture here, and I want to discuss this. And it comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. And it says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. They're treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. This entire thing, all of that I just read, all of these different descriptions of people, it talks about people in the last days. It says things like they will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. And it goes into detail in terms of what these people would do. But it also says in verse 5, like I read already, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. A form of godliness but denying its power. The people that it's referring to are spending way too much time focused on their desires and their wants and their feelings, and they're putting those things above God. These are things that we can use to check ourselves, all right? And just reading it again, just a couple of them, people will be lovers of themselves, of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. That's just a couple of them. Now, as I was reading through this, and we discussed this on that Sunday, we talked about it, but it was like, as I was reading through them, it's almost kind of like the Lord said, when I got to unforgiving, I heard the word stop. And that's the thing that we talked about. And this is what we're going to talk about today. One of the things that is keeping our hearts from God is our lack of forgiveness towards other people. Now, when we define forgiveness in the Anchor Your Bible Dictionary, it says forgiveness is the wiping out of an offense from memory. It can only be affected only by the one affronted. Once eradicated, the offense no longer conditions the relationship between the offender and the one affronted, and harmony is restored between the two. Now, I know that's a whole lot that I just read, but we're going to talk about this. All right. Forgiveness, based on this definition here, it says that it's the wiping out of an offense from memory. Now, the question is that can you really wipe something from memory? And the idea of something like that seems impossible. And you know, I don't think it means to literally forget, but I think remove it from the forefront of our minds, that we take whatever that offense used to be and we no longer hold it against the person that offended us. We no longer hold it against them. We have moved on. Forgiving is a form of compassion, and that's something that the Bible tells us to do. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate and forgiving. We're supposed to forgive. But we know that even just because it's something that we're supposed to do, it doesn't make it easy to do it. Many of us have people that we have forgiven, and then there may be some people who have not quite yet earned or received our forgiveness just yet. For whatever reason, we're not quite ready to give it to them. We aren't ready ourselves. But there are a couple of misconceptions to forgiveness that we have to address. And the reason we need to do that is that some of us think that forgiveness means something that it does not. So I want to talk about a couple of those things here. And one of the things that we misunderstand about forgiveness is that forgiving somebody means that we give them a pass. When you think about it, many of us think that if we forgive somebody, we're telling them that what they did is okay, that we're all right with whatever that they did to offend us. Not only does it not offend us anymore, but we're okay with the fact that they did it. But see, forgiveness doesn't mean that we give them a pass to do it again. It doesn't mean that we say that it was okay. It doesn't mean that we condone the behavior. What it means is that we are releasing the things in terms of the feelings of how the things that it brought on towards us. It means that we're releasing things like hurt and anger and rage and bitterness. More specifically, unforgiveness. And we choose to release those things for peace of mind, to take the power back that we lost through this offense. And also to make sure that we don't let it keep us from God. Because as what we read already, people who deal with these things, with unforgiveness, they have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. We can be in a position where we are denying the power of ourselves because of the things that we tend to hold on to. We're not saying it's okay, but we are saying, although this thing was not okay, I choose to not let it control my peace. So that's one of the first misconceptions about it is that when you forgive somebody, you're telling them that what they did is okay. You're giving them a pass. That's not what it means. All right. And the second thing is that the thing we misunderstand about forgiveness is that forgiving somebody is always based on them being in a position to ask for it. In other words, if the person doesn't ask for forgiveness, do they deserve it? You know, one of the things that I said, especially on the Sunday that we taught this, is that it's not easy to forgive somebody. And you know, the way that people act out here, they make it easy to not forgive them, don't they? They won't apologize. They won't ask you for it. In fact, they may even say it was your fault that whatever happened, happened. They may be caught red-handed with their hand in the cookie jar and still say that it was your fault. And even after offending you, they will make it seem like it's totally your fault. Stop talking to you. And it's like everything that they did to you doesn't even matter because they're so focused on them. They want to act like they didn't do anything wrong. Or, you know, it's all based on offense. Well, I wouldn't have done it to you if you didn't offend me first. And now we're playing the blame game. You know, those type of people make it easy to feel a certain kind of way, don't they? But we have to understand that forgiveness is bigger than them, because we can easily develop a mindset to say that they don't deserve it. But truth of the matter is that forgiveness is actually for you. It's not for them. You know, we may be in a position of feeling like people don't deserve forgiveness, but what it actually does is that it does more damage to us than it does to them. We might not smile when we see them, and the whole room may get hot when they come in and somebody says that particular person's name, and everything that they did to us comes back into our mind and it makes us angry. It robs us of our peace. This is what forgiveness does. It allows us to be able to let go of those things. 2 Timothy 3 said in the last days, what we said just a minute ago, people will be unforgiving and they're having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And so we have to understand that the word is clear that people will be unforgiving, and these things have consequences to being that way. They are showing the condition of our heart towards God, the way we treat somebody else. If we are able to forgive somebody, then it shows our condition, the condition of our heart towards God. If we can't forgive somebody, it shows the condition of our heart towards God. Now, listen, I can't go into this whole thing in terms of like the individual things that people have done to us. But one of the things that we can say is that in the last days, people will be unforgiving. One of the scriptures here I want to share in Matthew 18 and 23, it says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. 10,000 talents, if you looked up in the footnotes, it says basically that 10,000 talents was millions with the S of dollars. A man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, millions of dollars. In verse 25, the story continues, says, since he was not able to pay. That's important. He was not able to pay. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Verse 26 says, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Verse 27, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt. Y'all hear me? Canceled the debt and let him go. Millions of dollars. Verse 28 says, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, the footnote for that says just a few dollars. A few dollars. We're talking pocket change. And what happens when you continue that? It says that he grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown in prison until he could pay back the debt. Verse 31 says, when the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed and went out and told their master everything that had happened. Verse 32 says, then the master called the servant in. You wicked, lazy servant, he said. I canceled all of that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Verse 34 says, in his anger, the master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all that he owed. Verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. The first servant had a debt he couldn't pay, yet he was forgiven. But the person who wronged him was not forgiven. And so the question, this goes more and more into the idea of forgiveness. How can we ask God for forgiveness and we won't give it to somebody else? Don't we all know that we've done something against God and we want God to forgive us? But how can we righteously ask God to forgive us when we will not forgive other people? In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, it says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. We said this in the Lord's Prayer when we were little. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Another way to say it, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Christ said that this is how we are to pray. Forgive us as we forgive others. God, we are asking you to forgive us as we show the example of forgiving to somebody else. You can't ask God for something when you won't do it. As I said before, forgiveness is not for us. It is for them. I have something very direct I want to read to you. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. It talks about how Christ does not play about forgiveness or unforgiveness, I guess I should say. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, it says specifically, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a hard one right there. If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is another reason why forgiveness is for us, not for the other person. Because it says clearly here, if we can't be forgiving, God will not be forgiving to us. If you do not forgive, he will not forgive. If you don't do it, he's not going to do it. It doesn't matter how much you ask, because if you can't show somebody else that same example of what you're trying to get from God, God says he's not going to do it. This is based on you, not the other person. Forgiveness is for you, not for the other person. One of the things Bishop always says is that life is choice driven and we live or die by the choices that we make. So if it is for us and not for the other person, we can't let unforgiveness be that thing that keeps us from God. And more specifically, we can't let that other person keep us from God. Now, let's think about that person. Many of us, if we're dealing with unforgiveness, that means we probably don't like them right now. If you already don't like that person, are you going to give them the ability to get between your relationship with God? God is telling us that if we can't forgive them, that's exactly what's going to happen. So we need to be able to figure out a way to start forgiving those people who have wronged us. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We can say all these things to God. We can pray great prayers. We can offer up a great praise towards God. But if our hearts aren't there, it doesn't really mean much, does it? We can't let somebody else keep us from the blessing that God has for us. We can't let somebody else keep us from the favor that God has for us. We have to change our heart to have a heart more for God and not more for ourselves. To be able to forgive, that ability is more for us than it is for somebody else, because that unforgiveness is the thing that is going to keep us from God. So how do we develop a better heart for God? We develop a better heart for God by truly understanding what the real deal is, making sure that you don't let somebody else come between you and God. And I can't hammer this in enough. Forgiveness is for us. Forgiveness is for us. Forgiveness is for us. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. There's a footnote that says, there's another translation that says 70 times seven. This means you forgive somebody to a point to where you have lost count of how often you have to forgive. Why? Because forgiveness is the thing that can keep you from God if you can't do it. Forgiveness is the thing that allows you to be able to get before God. If you want God to forgive you, you have to be able to forgive somebody else. And if you're keeping up with numbers, should God keep up with numbers as well too? Once he's forgiven you enough, does he need to stop? God is saying that the way we treat other people is the way that he is going to treat us. So we have to make sure that if we are looking to have a greater heart towards God, we have to find the heart to forgive somebody else. So I want to thank you for joining us on another episode of the Light Post Podcast, a ministry of the Guiding Light Church. For other messages and resources, connect with us online at guidinglight.org, Guiding Light Church on Facebook, or Guiding Light Church TV on YouTube. I pray this was a blessing, and if it was, if you would share it with somebody, we would greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much for helping us to continue to get the message of Christ out. I'm Pastor Jim. Until next time, y'all take care and God bless.